We check our phones now more than ever, an average of 52 times a day. We're talking about one tech writer's breakup with his phone here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There's tension here, right? Because the work world may need you online, monitoring and responding to emails and messages at all hours of the day and weekend. But studies tell us again and again that too much tech is bad for our mental health. Do you feel like you're too attached to your phone? Have you tried to change that? And was it harder or easier than you thought it would be? And speaking of phones, it's not lost on us. We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Kevin Roos is a tech columnist for the New York Times. The New York Times Magazine, his article about smartphone rehab is called Do Not Disturb, How I Ditched My Phone and Unbroke My Brain. Kevin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you say you've always loved your phone ever since you got a phone. What made you want to change how much you use your smartphone? Because after all, you write about tech for a living.
Absolutely. And I do love my phone. I love technology. I'm not a Luddite or a technology hater. But sometime last year, I felt myself changing. I felt I couldn't read books anymore. I couldn't really watch full-length movies. It was hard for me to have long conversations with people. I was just twitchy and I had no attention span and I was just anxious all the time about my phone. So I decided I had to do something about it. So I contacted a woman who had written a book about sort of detaching yourself from your phone, and I begged her to be my phone rehab coach.
So you were just really having some issues, like waiting for the chip reader at a store to accept your credit card. You would glance at your phone. What was that experience like for you, especially at the beginning when you realized that something had been changing inside of you?
The first couple days were rough. I mean, this is withdrawal, right? Like, this is an actual sort of neurochemical process that you have to go through, because your phones are designed to be addictive. They're not that way by accident. So the first couple of days were just spent noticing my own habits, when I reach for my phone and why. And sometimes it's boredom. Sometimes I'm just waiting. I'm trying to kill time while I'm waiting for the subway, or, you know, waiting for a friend to show up for lunch. And it's in those moments where the phone just kind of steps in as this easy solution. And so this process, this 30-day period that I went through, was trying to sort of reverse those habits and replace them with healthier ones.
So as you trained yourself to not compulsively check your phone and you eventually got better at it, how hard was to get better at not being on your phone so much?
It was pretty hard. I mean, the first week was the hardest, and then it got progressively easier. But I did set my phone up for success, and part of the program that I was on was, you know, rearranging the apps on your phone and putting a rubber band around my phone so that it makes it a little bit harder to use. One of the biggest changes was actually where you keep your phone. Experts say that keeping your phone in your bedroom is one of the worst things you can do for your sleep and your phone use. So if any of your listeners charge their phones in the bedrooms, you got to get it out of your bedroom. That's like step number one.
Well, you even bought something. You bought like a lockbox or something.
I'm an extreme case. So I bought a little mini safe on Amazon, and I started keeping my phone in there at night.
We're talking about smartphone detox with Kevin Roos. He's a tech columnist for the New York Times and the New York Times Magazine. Have you ever tried to use your phone or other devices less? What was that process like? Call in with your phone this time. Connect with us at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So your project to deal with your smartphone addiction, and you use the word addiction, you know, hesitantly, by the way, it was personal. You come face to face with your own fears of boredom and stillness, of having to look around. But you also said that this addiction isn't just an issue of personal responsibility. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, well, I was sort of hesitant to describe this as an addiction because it's not purely our fault that this is happening. And I don't want people to blame purely themselves if they feel like they have an unhealthy habit with their smartphone. Because on the other side of the screen, what you don't see is the thousands of engineers in Silicon Valley trying very, very hard to get you to spend more time on your phone. And these are some of the smartest people in the world in the computer industry. And they're working at these companies like Facebook and Twitter, and they are very, very good at hooking you to your phone. So it's not just that we need change on the individual user side. We also need for these companies to start letting us have our brains back, because they're a big part of why we can't read books or watch movies anymore.
What would that look like? What could these tech companies do to ensure that people aren't addicted to their phones?
Well, they've started doing a little bit. So Apple, you know, and Google both now offer sort of device level controls for screen time. So your iPhone can, you know, limit you to 1 hour a day of social networking or something like that. But we also, I think, could use some changes within these apps. Like maybe they don't need to notify you every time someone, you know, every time it's someone's birthday, or every time someone, you know, like posts in a group that you're in. They really do take advantage of our cognitive weaknesses to get us to spend more time on their apps.
Kevin, I'm wondering, how is this going for you? I mean, 30 days is one thing, but where do things stand now with your phone?
It's actually been pretty easy. I haven't felt a real pull back to it. And I think it's because I've gotten a lot out of this. I mean, it's not just that I use my phone less. It's that I'm doing all of these things that I really missed, like reading and watching movies and going for walks outside and really noticing my surroundings. All the stuff that I hadn't realized I had kind of given up for a few years.
So for people who might want to work on this themselves, can you give them a step forward? Like, where should they start? And, you know, what was your step-by-step process like?
Well, I would recommend that they get my phone coach's book. Her name's Catherine Price. The book's called How to Break Up with Your Phone. It has the whole 30-day plan in there. But I really think it's important that they know that there's a difference that between these sort of life hacks that people will use, these kind of one-off tips and things like that, and a real program that gets to, why do you want to do this? What are you trying to make more room for in your life? What do you like about your phone? What don't you like about your phone? It's really about going at the root cause of this addiction rather than just kind of treating the symptoms.
I'm wondering, did you feel like you had more time in your life after you had made these sweeping changes?
Absolutely. I read like a dozen books during this month. I did a lot of things on my to-do list. I spent, you know, my wife was very happy with this. You know, she saw more of me. So this really improved my life in a ton of ways. And it wasn't just about the phone. It was about all the things I was missing by being on my phone.
And looking around a little bit more, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Kevin Roos is a tech columnist for the New York Times and the New York Times Magazine. And his article about smartphone rehab is called Do Not Disturb: How I Ditched My Phone and Unbroke My Brain. Coming up, we look at last week's failed summit with North Korea and what it means for U.S. foreign policy and the ripple effect here in Wisconsin. Stay with us for that conversation here on the Ideas Network.